May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 962. Come, dearest Lord, and melt my heart, thy animating power impart, blessed source of life divine. Jesus, thy love alone can give the will to rise, the power to live, for every grace is thine. 962.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. We shall read from the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. 1 Peter, chapter 1. Peter chapter 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Though now, for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for ever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth for ever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his own holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Most holy and almighty God, help and teach us now to pray. Grant us that true heart of prayer, that we might come before thee aright, that we might ask aright, that we might pray aright. Lord, who send thy Holy Spirit, and grant us those gracious promptings from within. And, O dearest Lord, guide our every thought. How often we find that we ask and receive not, because we ask amiss, that we might consume it upon our lusts, upon our pleasures. But, to ask in faith and in accordance to thy most holy, sovereign, eternal will. We would be thankful that there is a place by thee, that there is a throne of grace, O Lord, and that we might come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might come to thee in all our need. O Lord, that we might cast all our care upon thee, that we might take it to the Lord in prayer. O Lord, where would we be if there were no throne of grace and only a throne of judgment? For Lord, we are sinners, guilty, defiled, corrupt, hell-deserving sinners. Oh, that we are guilty of breaking thy holy commandments. And here my soul convicted stands of breaking all thy ten commands. And if my soul were sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And O, draw us unto the throne of thy grace, that we may obtain mercy. Mercy, dear Lord. Oh, we come pleading mercy. Mercy to the chief of sinners. Mercy to the most guilty. Mercy to the most corrupt. Mercy through blood. I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. Lead us to a precious Jesus, the sinner's friend. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. And yet, Lord, how true it is, though all are sinners in God's sight, there are but few so in their own. And those few are those who come begging for mercy, begging for pardon, begging for forgiveness, begging for that sweet revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to their souls, who come seeking that sweet sense of blood-bought pardon, who long to know the blood applied, cleansing from all sin. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Those few walking in that narrow way which leadeth unto life would be found looking unto Jesus, seeking to be found clothed upon in his robe of righteousness. May I in him be found safe in the arms of Jesus, to know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. All earthly good I count but dross, and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Oh, that saving knowledge of a precious Jesus, he who is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Oh, with them numbered, oh, may I be, now and in eternity, oh, to be a real Christian, and to be saved from everything that cometh short, everything that is of a natural man, everything that is of the flesh. Or to know thy Spirit's work within. Dearest Lord, remember each seeking soul here this night, who longs to know a precious Jesus as their Saviour, their Redeemer, who have come, as it were, upon their knees, pleading, begging, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. O Lord, those who would look up and see no man save Jesus only, those who long to be found leaning upon their beloved, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that I may win Christ and be found in him. Lord, as we gather together here on this evening hour of thy day, how often our mind goes to those two upon the road to Emmaus, and what they experienced is our prayer, is our desire, is our longing. And Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Did not our hearts burn within us while he walked with us in the way and opened up the scriptures? Dear Lord Jesus, do come. Oh, come by thy Spirit. May there be many hearts here who shall also experience those burnings of love. Oh, Lord Jesus, do speak and cause each one to hear, for where the word of the King is, there is power. May there be the entering in of thy word into those hearts prepared to receive it. O Lord, may there be the application of thy word, the sending forth of thy word, the unction of thy word. But mine eyes are up unto thee, O God the Lord, in thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Remember each one that has come in need with a longing desire, with a burdened heart. And do meet with each and every case. O Lord God, thou knowest. Jesus, the glorious head of grace, knows every saint's peculiar case, what sorrows by their souls are borne, and how for sin they daily mourn. Remember any cast down by the hardness of the way. Lord, remember those who are tempted, those who are tried, those who are weary, those who are faint. Remember those in soul trouble. Remember those who feel to be in the depths of trouble and despair and feel to be at wit's end corner. Those longing for thy appearing, for thy help, for thy blessing. Those who long to prove the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are those everlasting arms. Remember those who feel to be walking in darkness and have no light. Remember anyone here who may have such a peculiar need, a pressing case, which only thou canst deal with. Remember any that may have come in unconcerned. Oh, could it please thee to touch their hearts. May the Holy Spirit, as it were, fall upon every heart this night. May there be that wrought of God to the honour and glory of thy name. Oh, send out thy light. Send out thy truth. Let them lead us. Let them bring us unto thy holy hills and to thy tabernacle. Remember those unable to be here this night. Remember them where they are. Pray for those with the care of little ones, or perhaps with the care of the elderly, with the care of the sick or afflicted. Others perhaps in their lawful employments. Those who would be here if they could, though unable to be found here, dear Lord, do go to them where they are, and do bless them. Grant healing mercies to any in sickness, affliction. Remember again this cause of truth. Lord, be with them and bless them. Remember them in the church. Grant peace, grant brotherly love, and grant prosperity. Oh, we beg, Lord, there may be those constrained by the love of Christ. There may be those who must come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Remember thy servants who come here from time to time. May they come as the Lord's messengers in the Lord's message, and do bless and prosper thy word here. O dear Lord, remember Zion. Return with mercies unto Zion, and build thou the walls of Jerusalem. O shine upon the churches, lest they die. O Lord, and do have mercy upon our guilty land and nation. Overrule our rulers, and overturn, and overturn, and overturn the wicked desires of evil men. Frustrate them in their planning and scheming, and bring all into confusion. We thank thee, O Lord, for thy gracious intervention and appearing of late. We would own and acknowledge thy hand. But yet we need thee to yet appear again and again and again. Have mercy upon our leaders. Have mercy upon our Queen, the heirs of a throne. O Lord, preserve unto us our monarchy, our Protestant constitution. O preserve unto us our freedom of worship, our religious liberties. O Lord, our eyes are upon Thee. Remember Thy people throughout the whole earth. And we pray especially for those suffering persecution, distress, imprisonment. Oh, do remember the situation in Haiti. We pray that good may come from it. Oh, Lord. Oh, Thou knowest. Thou knowest, Lord. Oh, have mercy, we pray. Help us now as we return to Thy word. O Lord, do come again, we plead. O satisfy us early with Thy mercy. Send help. Grant the gift of the Holy Ghost. O Lord, bless us, we pray. Forgive our every sin, all that we ask amiss. We ask all for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 119. Great God, from Thee there's naught concealed. Thou seest my inward frame. To Thee I always stand revealed, exactly as I am. 119.
Thank you.
in complete and utter dependence upon the Lord for his gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention once again to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12, and verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. We try to consider a little this morning concerning the wonderful, infinite mercy of God in choosing a people for his praise. A people from every time, every nation, kindred, tribe and tongue. The election of grace. A people whom the Lord God Almighty set his love upon in eternity past. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. For whom the Lord loveth, the Lord set his love upon them. And at that appointed time, the Holy Spirit, so working in their hearts, awakens them, quickens them into life, spiritual life. Where's the evidence of life? Is it not in the cry, even natural, spiritual, in the prayer? Behold, he prayeth. There's the sign of spiritual life. Behold, he prayeth. Yes, he crieth for mercy. Oh, he crieth forth the publican's prayer. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He knows he needs mercy because he's a sinner. He knows he cannot save himself. He comes begging for mercy and being led and taught by the Holy Spirit. He's led to a precious Jesus, the door of God's mercy. Oh, he's led to knock upon the door of God's mercy, pleading for that gracious revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to know him, my Lord, my God, my Saviour, my Redeemer, my Jesus, my Lord, my all, the one thing needful. Thus the teaching of the Holy Spirit in leading sinners unto a precious Jesus. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, I believe I mentioned this morning that not everyone experiences a conversion like Saul of Tarsus, the Philippian jailer. I'm sure many of you have read concerning John Newton, perhaps William Huntington, John Warburton, to name some. With many of the Lord's people, perhaps it's like Lydia, the seller of purple, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto those things which were spoken. You see, the Lord opened her heart. The Lord softened her heart. The Lord began that work of grace in her soul. Yes, surely she was brought to know herself as a lost and ruined sinner. So she attended to the word spoken. What were the words spoken? The gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sinner's only hope, the sinner's only plea, the sinner's only way, the truth, the life, that there is none other name given us under heaven whereby we must be saved but that of Jesus, the sinner's friend. And yet where the Lord begins that work of grace, there will be that chastening. There will be that scourging. There will be that correction. There will be that discipline, if need be, in awakening, in converting, showing the sinner where he is. And we mentioned this morning concerning the prodigal son. When he was awakened, he was in a far-off country. And he'd wasted his living, he wasted his substance upon riotous living. And he was brought right down. He was emptied. He was brought to have nothing to pay. Brought completely down. That he had to return to his father, begging for mercy. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So we have the Father in electing a people. We have the Son justifying that people by his life, by his death, by his resurrection. We have the Holy Spirit, sanctification, sanctifying his dear people, showing them what they are, where they are, and leading them to a precious Jesus, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. In trying to meditate upon this word yesterday, I felt to really struggle with it. Nothing seemed to open up to me at all. Best part of the morning in the study, nothing much opened up. In the afternoon, attending to a few jobs in the garden, still trying to meditate upon it, nothing opened up, becoming more and more troubled. And yet we just had to pop out to put some petrol in the car. Coming back towards Salville, one word came into my mind, and the whole text opened up. Just one word. Kept. That one little word, kept. We read it in our reading. Who are kept by the power of God, through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth, kept. Kept from that mad career of sin. Kept from that broad way that leadeth unto eternal destruction. Kept by the power of God. Or from sinking into that eternal pit. Kept. Oh, kept by the power of God. Oh, the Lord's care of his dear people, from the first to the last, who are kept. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, the apostle, in speaking of this word, in the context, the comparison of an earthly father correcting, disciplining, keeping his own son from dangers, from evils, from errors, and such like. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Now, we live in a day, age, and society when discipline is extremely lax. When I consider that when I was at school, my first secondary school, the cane was still in use. And it had an effect. I remember one very, very, can I say, tough boy, older than me, who was caught doing something he should never have done. And the teacher caned him. Now, I'm saying this because it had an effect. That boy, I saw him, we came back from playtime, an older lad, very tough, he was in streams of tears over the punishment that he received, justly. The effect was he never did it again. We have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. Yes, spare the rod and spoil the child. Whatever the world says, that is what the Word of God says. Spare the rod and spoil the child, and just look at our society. God will use the rod where it is necessary, where it is needful, but remember, the rod is dipped in love. For whom the Lord loveth, that he might keep us in the narrow way, and we need to be kept. Oh, how the Holy Spirit will teach us that. Myself, I cannot save. Myself, I cannot keep. It's a narrow, narrow way which leadeth unto eternal life. And there is a ditch on one side, a ditch on the other. One ditch is called unbelief. The other ditch is called presumption. And so often we find ourselves leaning to one against the other. Fearing so much unbelief that we lean towards presumption. And yet fearing so much presumption we lean towards unbelief. Who are kept? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. For our eternal good. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, or in the margin as seemed good or meet to them, as was necessary, as was correct. But he for our profit, our eternal profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, of course, the rod we speak of is not a literal rod. But the things the Lord employs in our lives to keep us in the narrow way. Did we mention this morning that the child of God must walk by faith and not by sight? And yet, left to ourselves, we would rather walk by sight and not by faith. Did not the hymn writer pen, flesh dislikes the way of correction, the way of discipline, the way of chastening, the way of scourging. Flesh dislikes the way, but faith approves it well. And how do we walk by faith? Looking unto Jesus. Well might Peter be the apostle who was led to pen, who are kept by the power of God. Or what lessons he had to learn. walking upon the water towards Jesus upon the Sea of Galilee during that storm. The faith he was given to walk upon the water looking unto Jesus. But as we know, he took his eyes off Jesus. He took his eyes off Jesus and he looked around at the dangers. He looked around at the storm, the tempest, the waves, all threatening. And looking at them, he took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sing. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Oh, he cries out, Lord, save me. Wherefore didst thou doubt, O ye of little faith? How, dear Peter, and we can only feel it was in love, though all deny thee, I will not. What a mercy the Lord Jesus said to him. Satan hath desired to have thee, that he might sift thee. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. Peter was emphatic that he would never deny his Lord and Saviour. And yet we come to the judgment hall. And there, dear Peter, left to himself, left to his own strength, left to his own abilities. We might say at the very first hurdle he fell, he denied any knowledge of Jesus. And by the second time, by the third time, now with oaths and curses, he was denying anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. I know not the man. And the cock crew. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth, who are kept by the power of God. The look of Jesus towards Peter. We read the Lord looked upon him. Must have been as powerful as any chastening rod or any scourging whip upon Peter. He went out and wept bitterly. I don't think we can imagine what Peter passed through. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Or that we might be kept in that narrow way, that we might be kept looking unto Jesus. The children of Israel in passing through the wilderness were a type of a New Testament church. Now we read concerning the children of Israel, yea, he loved the people. The Lord set his love upon them. He called them by his almighty power out of Egypt when they cried unto him in their affliction. And he brought them forth. He promised them about promise of the promised land. And yet how often they limited the Holy One of Israel. How often they contemned the counsel of the Most High. How often they wanted to turn back. How often they refused to believe that he could provide for them, that he could defend them. How often they refused to believe that they were being led forth by the right way, because they wanted another way. They wanted an easier way, easier to the flesh. And often they were reproved. Often they were chastened. Often they were scourged. Or when they sinned against God time and again. And when at that time the Lord sent those fiery serpents amongst them. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Or how they were chastened there. Their walk by faith was to be in utter dependence upon God. Dependence that God would lead them forth in the right way. Dependence that God would provide and supply their every need. Dependence that God would protect them at all times, in all places. Dependence that God would take care of them. And yet how often do we read of them complaining, murmuring at their lot, wanting something better. And how often the Lord saw fit to chasten them. The Lord saw fit to scourge them. Oh, what instruction there is for us in the 107th Psalm. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Now, why were they found in darkness, in the shadow of death, in afflictions and irons? Is the one here tonight who feels to be in such a place? Because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. The Lord did not cut them off. The Lord will never, ever cut his people off. He'll bring them down. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. None to bring them out of darkness. None to bring them out of a shadow of death. None to bring them out from their afflictions and irons. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Whatever their trouble was, however great their trouble was, however many their troubles were, then through the chastening and scourging and sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, walking in a way of dependence upon God, there is that of praying without ceasing, continuing in prayer. And yet how many, many times do we neglect the throne of grace? How many, many times do we think or feel that we can manage without God's help? I do not need to pray about that matter. I do not need to take that to the throne of grace. I can deal with that. I feel led to speak in a few various ways. Do we need the Lord's help daily? Do we need the Lord daily to guide us, to direct us, to grant us wisdom, to grant us grace, to show us a way wherein we should walk? Is it our daily prayer, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Or are we like the world, We feel we can manage without God. We can choose our own plans, our own ideas. We can walk in our own ways. We can get on quite nicely without much prayer. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The Lord will deal with his people. The Lord will deal with them in such a way as it will hurt them. As a chastening rod, as a scourging whip, to correct them, to bring them back. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Oh, prone to backslide. Prone to turn to the left hand. Prone to turn to the right hand. Prone to neglect the throne of grace. Prone to wander from the Lord. Prone to turn to the world and the things of the world when we see the world prospering. Prone to envy, prone to jealousy, prone to lust, prone to covetousness. Or we still have the old man of sin. Or there will still be that of a Shulamite, as it were, the company of two armies. Or there will be that battle going on, the old man against the new against the old. Kept by the power of God. Yes, the world may go its own ways and see no need of God nor of prayer. How differently the child of God. Oh, how very differently, for the Lord deals with his people. Or it may be that we're passing through a very difficult time. Things have come into our lives so unexpected. We feel to be so cast down and so burdened and so troubled. And as the Lord is pleased to show us where we have erred, show us where we have strayed, show us where we have gone wrong, we went forth in our own strength. We went forth in our own wisdom. And now it's all ended in confusion. It's all ended in trouble. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You see, we've taken our eyes off Jesus. No longer do we feel to be poor and needy. Oh, no longer do we feel to be so dependent upon him. Oh, we want to be like the heathen. We want to be like the world. We want to be independent. How solemnly is that spoken of concerning the church of Laodicea, who became rich. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and nakedness. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. For the child of God, it's a pathway of prayer, a pathway of walking by faith, a pathway of looking unto Jesus, a pathway of casting all our care upon him, not some of our care, not most of our cares, not even the majority of our cares, but not all our cares upon him. Take it to the Lord in prayer. All seeking to know and to do his will. Seeking to walk in his ways, not my way, but thine be done. Not my will, but thy will, O Lord. The old man of sin, wants his own way, still wants his own fleshly lusts, or still wants its own fleshly desires it covets after, still wants the ways of the world, that it might eat, drink, and be merry. But how the Lord disciplines his people. How the Lord corrects his people. Or when they err, when they stray, when they wander, thus far shalt thou go, and no further. I'm sure most of you are acquainted with Pilgrim's Progress. And when Christian and Hopeful found the way that they were walking very rough, they were to walk in that narrow way. They were to walk in that way by faith, as it were, looking unto Jesus. And they come upon that stile. Now, Satan put that stile there. He put it as a temptation to tempt those pilgrims out of the way. I just feel led to speak a little concerning this. I suppose it always has been. But perhaps we feel especially in this day and age in which we're living, there are so many, many, many temptations to tempt us out of the way. Now, how will we know what is a temptation? Anything that tempts us away from Jesus. Anything that tempts us away from the Word of God. Anything that tempts us away from looking unto Jesus. Anything that tempts us away from the throne of grace. You can be absolutely sure if it comes to your mind, I do not need to pray about that. Now that's Satan, you do need to pray about it. You take it to the Lord in prayer. It doesn't matter how great it is. It doesn't matter how small it is, you take it to the Lord in prayer. Now, you see these stiles. Satan's put them there to tempt the Lord's dear people out of a narrow way. And the temptation is a bypath meadow, a smooth, an easy way. You remember how Christian and Hopeful were complaining about the soreness of their feet because the way was so rough. Now it's an allegory, perhaps there's one or another here tonight, the way that you are walking, you feel it's right, but it's so rough. It's so hard. It's so difficult, you hardly know how to carry on. The only way you can carry on is looking unto Jesus. But this stile, this temptation, here's an easier way. And they run in parallel together. Surely there will be no harm. I'm not going far out of the way. This isn't too much of an error. It is only a minor thing. And by the two ways will meet up again. And I shall be fine. Be sure your sin will find you out. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now, did that bypath meadow meet up again? No, it went further and further away. And then the storm clouds came, and then the thunder, then the rain, then the floods. They tried to get back, they could not get back, they were trapped. And the next morning, they were caught by giant despair and cast into his castle, into those dungeons of doubting castle. Satan got hold of them. Satan tempted them away. Oh, and what pain and what sorrow and what anguish they suffered and passed through at that time. But for the key of promise, the throne of grace. And another point worth mentioning, that when they escaped through the mercy of God, they had suffered much, but they had to go right back to that stile from whence they left the right way. And going back to that stile, yes, they put a warning up, but they had to carry on in that rough way. Be sure your sin will find you out. God is not mocked. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Oh, what lessons there are, what warnings there are in the book of Proverbs. To keep us in the narrow way, to keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, to keep us looking unto him, waiting upon him, trusting in him. Oh, I love the verse in the psalm, I think it's Psalm 62. My soul, wait thou only upon God. Waiting only upon God. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. That walking by faith, that looking unto Jesus. Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we are exceedingly filled with contempt. We read in Peter concerning the trial of your faith. Now, what is a trial unless it tries? What is chastening if at first it doesn't hurt? And secondly, if it doesn't have an effect. And the same for scourging. Now, where the Lord sees fit in his sovereignty, in his infinite wisdom, to lay his rod upon us, or to scourge us, it is for our eternal good. Oh, it's to keep us in the narrow way, which leadeth unto life. It's to keep us from wandering into the broad way, that leadeth unto death. You see, it's the Lord's gracious dealings, his kindness, his mercy. Oh, should we see one of our children in a dangerous situation, in a dangerous place? Oh, how we would use whatever is in our power to keep them from harm, to keep them from danger. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. And how often we cry out in our chastening, why? Why is this necessary? Why has this come to pass? Wherefore dost thou deal so hardly with me? How often we're found murmuring, complaining under the chastening of the Lord, and yet we fail to see it is for our eternal profit. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Now, like the refiner's fire, the metal is only in there as long as is necessary, not a moment more, not a moment less. As for God, his way is perfect. The chastening, the scourging, will only continue as long as the God of love and mercy sees fit. When the Lord has accomplished his designs in our correction, in our discipline, what is necessary that we should pass through for our profit, then we shall be brought forth. We shall be brought forth as gold. Though he slay me, spoke Job, yet will I trust in him. Trust in a wise and gracious God. Oh, trust in him at all times, in all places. How the dear hymn writer would pen, when sore afflictions on me lie, he is, though I am blind, too wise to be mistaken, yea, too good to be unkind. The Lord will never lay upon us more than what we can bear. The Lord will not lay one stroke upon us, but that which is necessary, that which is for our good, that which is for our profit. Oh, may the Lord grant us grace to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt us in due season, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for you. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day, which were for disaster relief in Haiti, amounted to £1,842, for which we are very thankful. That collection was divided between Mission Aviation Fellowship and Samaritan's Purse. God willing, there will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening, addressed by Mr. Izzard. Mr. Hope is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. Mr. Warren next Lord's Day, and hopes to administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Hymn 720. Endless blessings on the Lamb, broken hearts repeat the same. His dear heart was broken too when he bore the curse for you. 720.
And now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us each. Amen.